Amen, amen. I've got a title here today for us, and we're calling this teaching, No Longer Slaves to Sin. No Longer Slaves to Sin. I don't really think one would appreciate or fully understand this title unless you are truly born again of the Spirit and that you are aware that sin has been legally dealt with on the cross, that we have now been given this right standing before Almighty God, but that also when we do miss the mark, we do sin, that there is something within us that cannot be at peace, that cannot ignore or cover it over. This work of the Holy Spirit is something that is so precious and so valuable that keeps us in the presence of God, in fellowship, in relationship, and with each other. And I think we're going to appreciate today this title, No Longer Slaves to Sin. Let us start off with Romans chapter 6 and verses 6 to 7. Romans 6 and verses 6 to 7. And here the apostle is dealing in this context that we are dead to sin, that we're now alive to God. And that is the miraculous work of our salvation, that we are dead to sin, we are alive to God, we are filled, blessed with His Spirit. We have been made alive through the second Adam. And that life force, that power, that regeneration work, the power of the Spirit is something that we should know and experience in our lives daily as we walk with the Lord. And here he takes it up in verse 6, which he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And it goes on. But they're the two verses that I want to really look at. Firstly, it opens up, it's saying, knowing this. Well, this has to be revealed to us. This has to be our experience. This has to be a knowledge that is revealed by the Spirit when he says, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So he goes right to the cross, which deals with sin. And of course, we know that Christ was our sin bearer. He was that offering who took our sin, the guilt of our sin. And it says that the old man, what you were once, has now been crucified with him. His, in other words, when Christ was crucified and he was put to the cross, you were also crucified with him. That is the great work of redemption. That not only is he paying the price for man's sin and rebellion, but the power of the Spirit, the power of the cross and the resurrection has now dealt with us, our old man, which means that we too were crucified with him. And this, of course, is what the apostle saw in his walk after his conversion, when he said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He is seeing that Christ's death and resurrection is also my death and resurrection. I am identified with him. And he says he wants you to know that. Knowing this, the body of sin might be done away with. So he's not only dealing with our spiritual side, the heart, now made new with a standing before God, but God also knows he's left us behind in this fallen world and all the temptations of this world. He says, that the body of sin might be done away with. So he's saying he wants us to know that being crucified with him, this is all powerful in dealing with my flesh, my body, for the purpose that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In other words, my identification with him has dealt with my attitude, my heart towards sin and sinning. I no longer like it. I no longer want to continue in sin. There is something within me that cannot accept it and will not. And that is what compels us to go before God in prayer, in intercession, particularly when we've missed the mark and we've sinned. There is something that you have to get it right. Now, what is that work within each of us? It's for the purpose that we are no longer bound slaves of sin. In other words, I'm not held. I'm not in control like a slave is. A slave has a master. They are controlled. They are purchased. It says that we are no longer bound by that. Where I couldn't do right. I tried to, but I couldn't. The things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And the things I should do, I don't do. You know, this being held, torn. He says, we're no longer slaves of sin. It's not binding us, imprisoning us anymore. But you see, we have to settle on sin. We have to settle on obedience, because it's obedience that deals, that kills that sin. And you cannot obey unless you turn to God and you are in relationship with him and you talk to him. You bring it out into the light. You see, at times it takes years sometimes to come to this decision about sin and certain weaknesses in our life. It's the greatest moment when you decide sin must die in you. And we all come to that place because, you see, our eyes are being opened. You see, God has a restraint on us. We are continually cleansed and covered by the blood of Jesus, in which he deals with us. When we are ready, when he opens our eyes and ears and heart, when he works that deliverance. Very often we've thought, you know, well, why didn't this happen 10 years ago? How come it's taken all this time? That is the grace and mercy of God. That is God in control, releasing, delivering us, that we're no longer slaves to sin. And we've come to that place where we settled it. This sin dies, it goes. We don't restrain it or suppress it. It's the cross that crucifies it. And that's what the apostle saw. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I hold the cross central daily in my life, in my walk. This is why I've always keep saying the cross is the central theme of the Christian gospel. And we've lost sight of it today through these liberals. And this is why we have the problems, the sin, the rebellion, the unbelief, the worldliness in so many churches, because the cross is not there. It's not central. And only you before God can come to that decision. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the word that you receive under the anointing that's working in you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. That's why faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. It's bringing us to a decision. It's bringing us to a place where this dies. It goes because it's crucified. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified with him. His resurrection is my resurrection. We might at times be mentally or spiritually convicted, but we have to settle what Paul says here. And this is why he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So, in other words, what it reads in the Greek is it's rendered inoperative. That's what it actually means in Greek. What was once operative, my body sinning, enjoying sin and pleasure of this world, has become inoperative. It's been made redundant. It's of no more use. It doesn't always necessarily mean that it's destroyed, done away with, because our bodies are not done away with. We still have a body. You know, sometimes we see, I always think it's a bit of a sad sight, where you see industry, where there was once industry, you know, cars were made, or steelworks, these big factories. They're now empty. No life, redundant, they're not needed anymore. And that's exactly what the apostle is getting to here. He's saying that is all made redundant. It's served its purpose to bring in you to Christ. You now have become a new creation in Jesus Christ. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 7. So it is that death that works within us. And this is where that death identifies with his death, until that sin is dealt with, it's crucified in me. One could say that the crucified life is a continual ongoing work. That's why the apostle said, I take up my cross daily and I follow the Lord. Why each day? Because each day brings trials and tests and the working of God. In other words, he's saying, this day when I take up my cross, what is going to deal with any sin or shortcomings, or where the enemy tries to trick me or deceive me? That cross that I take up each day is going to deal with that, because I'm identifying with Christ's death. Are you beginning to get this now, brothers and sisters? It's our confession. It's what we believe, you see. And the Holy Spirit, he will do the rest, because he's wanting us to agree with God's word. Romans 10, 10. We agree, we confess with our mouth. We line up. We agree with the word of God. We agree that he says, if you follow me, then you take up your cross daily, you follow me. This is what Christ said to the people following him. And that is what we do. We line our confession. We line our faith, our belief, and the Holy Spirit, who has empowered you, will come and do the rest of the work. You are not to try and strive and work at this. There are some who try to crucify themselves, almost in a literal sense. That is bondage. The Holy Spirit, he hasn't got it wrong. He knows how to identify us with Christ, what he achieved and done on the cross. When he was crucified, I was crucified. When he died, I died. When he was raised up, I was raised up. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. What he wants from us is to agree with that, settle on that, believe that, and the Spirit of God will do the rest. How do we know? We walk each day by faith. And your trials and your tests in this life is going to work that death and resurrection. This is why we keep saying your trials, your tests, your tribulations are tailor-made to work this in you and I. That's why they seem strange at times. You can't understand them. Our battle at times is often agreeing with God's word or his verdict on sin. That's our problem, particularly if God is highlighting sin, weakness in our lives. Very often the enemy becomes very vocal at that point. Now, what does it say in verse 11 of the same chapter? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves. That in Greek actually means take it for granted. Rely on it. It's done. That's what it means. So reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God. I am dead to sin and sinning, even though I am still a work in progress, which we all are. But he says, rely on it, count on it. It's done. The power of the resurrection. The power of Christ's death and resurrection is so powerful, it's caught me up with it as well. That's the power of the Spirit. We identify with his death and resurrection until that sin is crucified in me. And very often our battle is we just agree with the word of God and don't argue, bicker with it. We just yield and do what his word tells us. That's part of our healing, our deliverance. Verse 5, he says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. The Holy Spirit unites us into his likeness. He recreates Christ's victory. Everything that he's done, He, the Holy Spirit, recreates that in my life, in my heart. This is why I keep saying your salvation is a miracle. It is miraculous. So many of our brothers and sisters are striving in the flesh to try and be better, to try and overcome sin. God hasn't called us to try. He's called us to be, to stand before him, to believe and let the Spirit, the fire, fall and consume and do that work. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Place yourself on that altar. You can't do any more than that. When you place yourself, your heart, what else can you do? You can't. God knows that. But he's saying, you put yourself on that altar and the fire will fall and I will do the rest. Because fire is cleansing, healing, you see. So he says, we've been united together in the likeness of his death. So we should be in the likeness of his resurrection. He's imparted everything he's done on the cross into your life, your whole being of soul, body, and spirit. So the triumph from resurrection of Jesus has given to those born again. In other words, what we're saying, Lord, take me over. Rearrange my life. And the cross has given me the life of Almighty God in me. That's what it's given. The cross has given you his life, living now in you and I. And that's why he chooses us from the foundation of the world to make the resurrection life of Jesus penetrate every part and fibre and soul and being of me. The resurrection has consumed me in body, soul, and spirit. It has left no atom out of me. For I am fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of Almighty God. That's why he says he knows the very strains of our hair on our head. Each hair he knows and is counted. And it takes the power of God, the power of God that spoke the word into being when the world and the galaxies and the universe was created, this world was created, and he spoke the word and created man in his image. That same power is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And it's the same power he works in you and I, making us a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Stop living that old life. Stop looking to it. Stop listening to the devil's lies. I am new. I'm a new creation. Everything has changed. Thank God for this. That's why you see the Holy Spirit cannot just be accepted in one room of the house. And you are the house. You are the temple. You've been purchased with a price. The Holy Spirit has totally filled this house, this body. Not just one room, not just the part of me. He doesn't work like that. It's a complete baptism, the same as when you go down in water. The water covers you whole, every part of you, which you rise up in a new, as a new creation. That's why you see the Holy Spirit, he comes and he takes over. In actual fact, it reads, he comes, he invades. When we give him permission, he actually invades. He comes in. He takes over completely. And thank God that he does. and he takes complete charge of everything now. We have given him permission. And the sign that we have given him permission is that we yield, we obey, we allow him to do it, even if it may hurt, even if it means it exposes. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens at times. What does it say in verse 11? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So reckon it done. That I'm alive to Christ. Sin has been dealt with at the cross. And I will see the manifestation of what he's done. That through my weaknesses, he will make me strong. The Apostle Paul is battling, is writing through this by revelation and his own experience, his own life. Can you imagine after his conversion, how vocal the devil must have been? You persecutor. You murderer, what you did to Christians and Christ's body. Can you imagine at times the condemnation of that? That is why the Lord had to meet with him face to face, so that he can write these things here in Romans that we too can identify with. And not only that, but he gives us his holiness, which means separation. He separates me from this world. He places within me a new spiritual order. And that's what he comes with. He's not a God of confusion and chaos. He is very much a God of order. And he's going to work that. And he's going to work our whole member, our whole body, into that order. It's called divine order, which he sets in the church. He sets God first, then the man, then the woman. And it's built on those three principles. And you violate it, you go over it, and you're in trouble. The enemy tries to get in and buffet. The devil hates this divine order that God sets in our midst. And we have to yield to it and not resist it. And brothers who yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, as you yield to that divine order, so he will teach you how to look after your home. And to be head over your home and your wife and your children. This is why the apostle spoke first to the man. Husbands, love your wives. A lot of men do not know how to handle their wives. They just panic and they run away. They can't cope. They're not drawing from the life, the headship of Christ. If you're in a standing and relationship with him, he's going to show you, he's going to guide you. And likewise with the wife. She's to yield to her husband and to get behind him, even to help him if he's not doing it right. And it's the same in the church. This is a spiritual order that God has set, else you have chaos. It becomes a riot. And that is going to be one of the characteristics that we're seeing in these last days. We're going to see riots, rebellion. We're going to see people rising up, trying to get governments down. We're already beginning to see it. Because there's no longer an order any longer. And so as we identify with the cross as we allow God to deal with this sin and unbelief in our life, this is where we're going to see the greater works come. They're going to come when we've made an effective decision about sin in our lives. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who's come to empower us to put that into action. And that's his work. The power of the Holy Spirit comes to put it into action. He's infinitely more powerful than our flesh and our unbelief. What does it say in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is his work in you and me, FGA, and all those who love the Lord. He's working that power by the power of the Spirit in us. And he's delivering us in order for this great commission to be done. How will the world know? They are known by their fruit. The way they live, the way they act, the way they love one another, fellowship, how we treat one another. The parable of the Good Samaritan and all these parables that Jesus spoke of, but it requires the power of the Holy Spirit to make it happen. You're trying to make it happen because you're convicted. No, it says we yield over to the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is in the Spirit, in the Lord. It's his fruit manifesting through you. As you yield, that fruit will be there. Don't ask me how it works, but it does. It helps us to embrace and to love the unlovable even. And to go that extra mile. Because the fruit of the Spirit is there. You've been empowered by the Spirit in which to do it. So don't say you can't do it. Maybe the problem is I don't want to. It cramps my lifestyle. Well, you've got to confess that before God and get it right, because that is the sin. You see, the life that was in Jesus becomes ours, all because of the cross, which is based on our decision. He never forces us. You see, he's come to give us an endless supply of his life. His life, the power of his Spirit, will never ever run out or drain. It's endless. You think about that, what he has placed within you and I. Let's just turn to Ephesians 3, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Look at that. An endless quantity of the power of God working in and through us. And it works on the basis when I take up my cross daily and follow the Lord, that I am crucified with him. That then brings forth this abundant power and glory through us. In other words, the Holy Spirit doing the works. You see, this was something in the book of Acts that they had witness they were experiencing. Very often, the book of Acts is often called the works of the Holy Spirit. They were so experiencing and were empowered by the fact that the power of God was working through them to make these things happen. This is why it says they turned the world upside down in those early days. They had learned it didn't lie in them. It was a gift of God. Their salvation was by the grace and mercy of God. This is why they were on fire. This was why they were so grateful. Sinners saved, empowered. Everything is done by God. And he simply wants us to yield over and allow him to do the rest. I wish to God more Christians, and this was preached in churches. So many just do not see this. It still works. It's still me in control. I have earned my salvation by my works, by my commitment to my church or denomination. That's still the mindset and thinking of many. Fail to understand that God had mercy on me, impoverished, poor, wretched, miserable, naked. Nothing in me appealed to God. Nothing at all. But he had mercy. God first loved me. Why all of this? Because we cannot boast in it. Those who feel their importance to God, they're the ones that cannot be used. They're the ones that don't walk with the Lord. They don't know him. The cross will enable you to know him. And they will know that you are with him. You have walked with him. You have seen him. They will see he, she walks with the Lord. He's restoring that, brothers and sisters, as we continue to die daily, that his life is manifested in and through us. It's, one could say, you know, as I bring this to a close, one could say, in this life, we keep letting go. Every day I keep letting go for his fullness to invade, to penetrate every part of me, that the world will see that I walk and live with Jesus. Keep letting go. Every day, expect and look to see something more you let go in order for him to replace his presence, his spirit. That is our walk. That is the deeper life. That is what we teach and believe. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Bless you all. Thank you for your time, your fellowship, and I trust you've been blessed by the word. And all of you have a blessed week, and just yield over and let Christ do that work in through each of us. That is why you're empowered by the Holy Spirit in order for that work to be done.